All right, I want you to join me in the book of Isaiah this evening, chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter 6. By the way, the Knickerbocker family are in Burkina Faso, which is in West Africa, and doing a great job. Pray for them. They're planning a furlough next year, and we'll look to see if they can stop by and visit with us and give us a personal report. But started the church back in 2016, been there since 2014, started the church in 2016, and it's going really well. Started with 7 people, and church is growing. And they're in West Africa, in Burkina Faso, 23 million people in that small country. It's a small country, and you know, Africa is a large continent, right? But Burkina Faso is a big country, 23 million people, and they're right in the middle of it. And so thank the Lord for them, young family, 3 children. And like every missionary, they have their issues and challenges, right? And so they need our prayers. They need our financial support, but mostly they'll tell you they really need our prayer support. So don't forget to pray for the Knickerbocker family. That's not a hard name to forget. Knickerbocker, right? All right, Isaiah chapter 6. This may be a familiar passage to you. You've probably read it before. And if you've been around churches like Open Bible, you've heard messages out of chapter 6 and verses 1 through 9. And that's where I want to focus my attention tonight, verses 1 through 9. And specifically, here's the subject matter. Here's what I want to talk to us about this evening. What Isaiah saw. What did Isaiah see? When you read through this text of Scripture, and we will in just a moment, we're given a glimpse as to what he saw. And I don't know if you find this interesting or not, but I do. I like hearing people's testimonies, and I love hearing, sometimes they'll tell you what they saw when God got a hold of their attention. You know, did you ever hear a testimony like that? You know, I think it's interesting, intriguing, in fact, to see some of the ways in which God gets people's attention. Do you have a testimony like that? Huh? You have a time where you can testify and say, boy, there was a time in my life, Pastor, where God got my attention. You have a testimony like that? Well, my daughter Nicole, who is now, I won't tell you how old she is because she's at that age where you can't share women's ages. But when she was born, God got my attention. My wife went through an 18-hour labor, and we were in the hospital, and we were waiting and waiting, and doctor came in and said to my wife and I that it doesn't seem that she wants to come out, and it's becoming important for us to get her out. And so we're going to have to go in through cesarean and take the baby. Now, we were young, you know, we were just kids. And so they looked to me, and I was in the room with her. They looked to me, and they gave me a bag of blue clothing. And they pointed me toward a door, and I'm figuring I'm going into a dressing room. I walked into a broom closet, and there they told me to put this clothing on. I mean, from head to foot, right? Mask, everything, scrubs, hat. I thought they were going to ask me to do the surgery, you know? But I'll never forget that morning, because we went in the afternoon prior, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The next morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, I remember getting on my face before God and saying something like this. And I don't know if this is what I said, but it was something like this. You have my attention. And like never before, I need your help. And I remember bargaining with him. Did you ever bargain with God? Huh? You know what that sounds like? I bargained with him. And I said something like this, Lord, if Donna is okay, and we knew it was going to be a girl, and if that little girl comes out okay, I promise I will surrender my life to you. I no sooner got those words out of my mouth when the Spirit of God said, is that the only reason why you'll surrender your life to me? What if, and I said, Lord, at this very moment, I'm surrendering my life to you no matter what happens in that operating room. God had gotten my attention. And I promise you, from that moment forward, I never looked back. I surrendered my life to the Lord. God called me to preach, and the rest is history. I've been in the ministry now for 10 whole years. I've been in the ministry for a pretty good long time. But it started, pay attention right here, it started when God got my attention. I love hearing testimonies like that. Because what you see is this, how not only how God got somebody's attention, but you see how he revealed himself to someone. And I think that's unique, and I think that's wonderful. And that's what we find here in this text. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne." Look at the vision now. God gives him a vision. High and lifted up, his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Now, they're angels. They're special angels with a special anointing, with a special ministry unto the Lord. And so above the throne, above the Lord, are seraphims. Each had, look at this now, each one had six wings. And with twain, that means two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he did fly. And look at this, verse 3. "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I," now that's the vision, right? Now here's Isaiah's response. "Then said I," look what he said, "woe is me." You know what that word woe means? It's a word that implies judgment. You know, woe is you. You know, you should be judged for your actions is what, you know, he preached. Now he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And the reason I say that now is, look at this, for my eyes have seen the Lord." Now that's something special. This all occurred because of this vision. "Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphims, you know, look at this. "And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also," look at verse 8, "I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" That's special, right? Because that speaks to us about, you know, the deity. Who will go for us? You know, that would be one of those verses that we use to prove the plurality of our God, right? Who will go for us? Notice Isaiah said, "Then said I, Here am I, send me." I don't know, every time I read that, I kind of feel like it's sheepish. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, almost like, "Lord, I'll go. Here am I." Notice what the Lord said in verse 9. Maybe to his surprise, he said, "Okie dokie." You don't have that in your Bible, do you? You got to get a better Bible. The Lord said, "Okay, go. And tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a powerful text of Scripture? Many years ago now, in 1981, I was sitting in a little Baptist church over in Philadelphia. Missionary came through. His name was Dennis Piles, missionary to the Philippines. Dennis Piles. Anybody know Dennis Piles? You know Brother Riddell? You know Dennis Piles, missionary Philippines? He is a tall fella. Very mild-mannered, and when he spoke, he kind of spoke in a very monotone voice, never raised his voice. And in that service that night, he shared his testimony, and our pastor was away, and so he preached, and he preached out of this text, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And I mean to tell you, he wasn't bombastic. He wasn't full of energy. He wasn't charismatic. He didn't illustrate. He never left the podium. It was almost as if he just read his message. And it's a very small church, didn't have several sections. It had one section. I was sitting about where you were, Sean Madison. And I never forget during that service, and I was just happy to be saved, happy to be in church, saved for just a few years, you know. And I'll never forget that night, God spoke to my heart, because at the end of the message, he said something like this, and I don't remember the details, but he gave an invitation like we do here. And he said something like, so who will go for him? God is still asking who will go. And I remember in my heart saying, I'll go. And so he said, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, who will go? And if you're willing to go, would you slip out of your seat right now and come on forward? And you're not going to believe what my feet did. My feet began to walk. Huh? Did you ever hear that song, these shoes are made for walking? That's old. And I left that, Sean, I left that, and I came down, and I thought all the way down, what are you doing? Where are you going? Are you out of your mind? And I knelt down, and missionary came over and knelt next to me and prayed with me. And he said, what's going on? And I said, I believe the Lord spoke to my heart and called me to do something. I said, I don't know what, but he called me to do something. And that was a very special point in time in my life. It was right after, of course, my daughter was born. So God had gotten my attention. And now he was placing a call upon my life, using this text of Scripture in my life. It's wonderful when God works in a person's life. It's wonderful when God does something to draw you closer to Him. Don't you agree? Amen. And so here in this text of Scripture, when you begin to look at this text, verse number 1, and well, we're going to get into this in just a little bit, but a major event occurs in the life of Isaiah. And we're told what it is. The king dies, right? The king is dead. And so this is not only in the life of Isaiah, but this is also in the life of the nation of Israel. The king is dead. And you can read about Uzziah for yourself over in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Bible has some pretty good things to say about this fellow. In fact, he was a pretty good king. Long list of accomplishments. And for the most part, he did right. Because, you know, not all the kings in Israel did right. You know that, right? Some of them held on to some idol worship and God had to deal with them. But some of them did right. Well, King Uzziah was on that list of doing pretty good. He was larger than life. But here in this text, he's dead. He dies. And what's interesting are the words that follow the report of his death. Look at it again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. Don't you find that interesting? When I read that, I thought this, well, what happened before he died? You didn't see the Lord before he died? But here it says, when the king died, I saw the Lord. Maybe because Isaiah was finally looking for the Lord. Some would say that his view of God was blocked. Has your view of God ever been blocked? Help me here. I mean, sometimes we're looking at all the wrong things. Sometimes people get in the way. Things get in the way. And there's a principle in the Bible. Listen to this Bible principle. Listen to this Bible principle. What you seek, you find. That's a Bible principle. Right? Seek and ye shall find. Right? Knock, it shall be open. Ask, ye shall receive. Seek. What you seek, you find. And that's true in all of life. Did you ever see that to be true? If you're seeking for trouble, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find trouble. Right? If you're seeking for blessing, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find blessing. Right? What you seek, you find. And so here in this text, the king is dead. He's finally removed, and Isaiah sees the Lord. And I thought about this in my study this past week. We really need to see God. Right? I mean, we're living in a time where it's a mess, right? Everywhere you turn, it's a mess. I think I told you a few weeks ago I had to stop watching the news because it's terrible. I happened to pop on the news today, one of those, you know, channels, you know, Fox, because I didn't want you to think I was watching anything else. And I mean to tell you, within the first 2 minutes, it was the same thing I heard when I stopped watching. And I was reminded why I stopped watching. Nothing's changed, right? It's alarming. And if we're not careful, that can really get in our way of seeing God. Here's what the psalmist said. Psalmist reminds, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all the earth. You know what that means? It means God is still on the throne. Habakkuk said this. He said, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. And I think there's times in life that we need to be reminded that God is still God. He's still on the throne, and he still is in control. So what did Isaiah say? Well, first and foremost, he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. That's what verse 1 tells us, right? Look at verse 1 again. Flip it on the screen. Guys, let me help you with that. He sees him, but the way he sees him is intriguing, right? I mean, he sees him high and lifted up. He's Almighty God. His train's filling the temple. And did you notice what he said? He said he begins to hear, you know, these angels, these seraphim. And the word in the Bible is the word crying, right? They cry out. But did you notice? Look what he says in verse number 3. They cried, what? Unto another. So they're, here's how I take it. Here's the vision. You know, these angels are now seeing Almighty God, and they're kind of like beside themselves. And they're looking at each other, and they're just saying, holy, he's holy, he's holy. In fact, the declaration was so powerful, it says, if you look in verse number 4, that the posts of the doors moved at the voice of who? Not God. Of him that cried. The angel. So these angels are, these seraphim are, I mean, they're declaring God's holiness. And in such a way, I mean to tell you, Isaiah is becoming overwhelmed by what he's seeing, by what he's hearing, by what he's sensing. I mean to tell you, God is trying to get a hold of this brother. God ever tried to get a hold of you like that? Interesting, isn't it? I think, folks, it's important for us to see the Lord in our lives. I think it's important for us to see God working in our lives, don't you? It's important for us to see God working in our church. It's important to see God working in our family. I think it's important to see God working in our world. I see God working all over the place. You know, I see his hand in all of it. You know, just recently our church, I think the Lord's really blessing Open Bible right now. We got some great things happening. You know, in fact, we got a whole list of people joining the church this upcoming week and new families coming. It's wonderful. But you know what happens when that happens? The devil attacks. And so, unbeknownst to you, there's some things going on behind the scenes that we have to deal with. You know, nothing immoral, nothing of that nature, but some situations that we're dealing with. And it's just the devil, right, Mr. Smith? We talked about it. It's just the devil. Trying to attack, trying to divert our attention, you know. But you know what I found out about him? He's a liar and he's defeated, you know, and he just likes to every once in a while get in the way, get in the details, you know. But it's important for us to keep our focus on him, to keep our focus on the Lord. You remember reading this about Moses in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 27. He's forsaking Egypt. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, "By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured." How do you endure? As seeing him who is invisible. I think, folks, you and I, we've got to see him who is invisible. We've got to look for him. Isaiah saw the Lord. And you'll notice this. After verse number 1, it says in the year King Uzziah died. And that's it. You know, no further mention of Uzziah. Why? Isaiah is now refocused. He's no longer allowing the evening news to crowd his mind. He's no longer renting space in his head to the wrong things. No, he's focused again upon the Lord. And as a result, notice what happens in verse number 5. He says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." And so now he sees himself. Now Isaiah is seeing himself. And how he describes this, I think, is interesting. He's not impressed by what he sees. Did you see it? Look. "Then I said, woe is me." And he says, "I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." You know what Isaiah was? You know what his vocation was? What was he? What was he? He was a prophet. You know what prophets do? They prophesy. I'm not trying to trick you. They prophesy. You know what preachers do? They preach. Isaiah says this, "I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." He's not impressed with himself. In fact, his vision of the Lord revealed to him that there's some work that needed to be done. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said this, "Out of the heart proceeds," right? And so what Isaiah is saying here when he reflects upon himself and using, you know, those words, "I'm a man of unclean lips." And look, he said this, "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. In other words, what he's saying is this: there was a time when I was an influence, but no longer. Did you pick that up? There was a time when I was living in such a way that I had some influence, that I had some power, but I lost my focus. And when I lost my focus, now I'm dwelling with the same people I should be ministering to. Right? Look here, you know the Bible teaches that those of us who are leaders, you know, there's a greater judgment upon our lives. And that's not just for pastors. That's for teachers and deacons and church leaders. We have to be really careful, mindful of that, right? And Isaiah is speaking here about his own self and saying, man, I'm just a mess. If you had to go back to chapter 5, not right now, but if you go back to chapter number 5 and read through it, here's what you find. Isaiah's preaching, what we would, maybe the way we can identify it, he was like one of those old-time fundamental wind-sucking preachers. You know what I mean by that? I mean, just every time they preached, they're trying to skin somebody, right? I was watching a conference recently, preacher, and I was all by myself. I was watching on my iPad. And as I finished watching the conference, I watched a couple of preachers. I was just picking through it. Here's what I thought. I think the new goal of the conference is to see who can yell the loudest. The message was the same. It was the same message I heard back in 1980. Nothing's changed. However, the volume got louder. And I think some preachers think this: the louder they are, the more truthful the message is. That's just not the way it is. Huh? That's just not the way it is. And so in chapter number 5, if you read it, what you find is Isaiah, he speaks six woes. Six times in Isaiah 5, he says, woe is you. Woe is you. Woe is you. Woe is you. I mean, he's just ripping, man. Right? He's preaching against everyone and everything. He's like Carl Hatch, who said, I'm against so much, I don't even know what I'm for. And that seems to be sometimes that's all we have, is what we're against. But you know what happens in chapter number 6? He no longer says, woe is you. He says what? Woe is me. Woe is me. How'd that come about? He had an encounter with the Lord. He saw the Lord. And after seeing the Lord high and lifted up, and that vision just, you know, consumes him, now he takes a look at himself, introspect. And he goes from conviction replaces criticism. He's no longer criticizing. He's no longer casting down. That's important. He mentions he dwells amongst people of unclean lips. You know, a fresh vision of God should have a life-altering influence upon our lives. And here's the truth now. Pay attention right here. This vision changed Isaiah completely. You know why? In chapter 5, he's saying, woe is me. You can go ahead and read, or woe is you. You can go ahead and read it for yourself. In chapter 6, we just read it, woe is me. You know what he begins to write about in chapter 7? Anybody know Isaiah 7? Let me give you a verse. Verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Huh? That's Isaiah chapter number 7. You know what he reads? Nobody says in chapter number 9? He talks about, you know, a child is born, a son is given. So God has to work in his life in a very special way to bring him to a good place before he can use him to begin to give us some of the most blessed portions of Scripture that we have. Isaiah 7:14 is a what? It's a prediction about the coming Savior Jesus, the suffering servant. And he goes on and speaks. Isaiah, did you ever read Isaiah, you know, chapter 53? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, but the Lord has laid upon him the chastisement of it all. He begins to speak about the suffering servant. That's Isaiah. But that didn't occur until he saw the Lord. And once he saw the Lord, he saw himself. And once he saw himself, he began to allow the Lord to work in his life to produce some wonderful truth and prophecies that we, of course, now enjoy and cling to. God had to clean them up before he can use them in such a wonderful way. Right? And so what does Isaiah see? Well, he sees the Lord. He sees himself. But look at verse number 8. Go back to verse 8 with me. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And here's when Isaiah says, send me. Notice what the Lord said. Go. And so the final aspect here in this section, Isaiah sees the world. He sees the world. Go. And look what he said. Go and what? Tell this people. Hear ye indeed. Understand not. See indeed. Perceive not. Go and tell these people is the message. And let me close this up. Isaiah became a difference maker. And God gives him a huge task. Right? Huge task. And he's got a fresh view of God. He's got a, you know, he's got a proper view of himself. And now God sends him into the world to represent him. And you know what I found out? I found out this. The task hasn't changed. It's still the same, isn't it? Because Jesus' last words on earth to the church was what? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's the task. That's what we're to do. Let me summarize it this way. As his children, we're to worship the Lord. So we talked about last Sunday morning. Remember we were here Sunday? Talked about worship. What is genuine worship? How does it materialize? Worship's not something we do just on Sunday. No, it's something we do daily. Right? So we're to worship the Lord. We're to live for the Lord. This Sunday morning, we begin a brand new series called Everyday Christianity. How we can take our Christianity, you know, into the workplace. How it should affect our communities. Right? But it's got to affect us first. And then we should share the Lord. We should share the Lord. Here's a great passage of Scripture in Matthew's Gospel. You don't have to turn there. But Matthew chapter 16, jot these verses down, verses 16 through 18. It's a great passage of Scripture. Jesus is having a communique with his disciples, his team members, and he asks them this question. You remember this? Jesus said in Matthew 16, in verse 15, 16, he says, so who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember that? It's a great, great question. And who speaks up? Peter, right? And Peter says, well, some are saying you resemble, and he begins to list, you know, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. And then what the Lord asked him? Yeah, your students. Who do you say that I am? Right? And who speaks up? Oh, Peter. What did Peter say? Thou art the Christ. That's an anointing. That's not his name. His name is Jesus. Christ was his title. He was the anointed one. Thou art the anointed one. Peter was the same fellow when Jesus said, will you also leave me? And Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words to eternal life. Right? And then the Lord said in chapter 16, verse 18, he makes a declaration. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will what? I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? But you know where that whole scene started? Because most of the time, we concentrate on verse 18. Talking about the church. And it's a great Bible verse because the church belongs. I will build my church. But where it starts is in the interrogation. Where Jesus says, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And when I read that, John, when I read that, it dawned on me, it matters to the Lord what the world thinks, what the world knows, how the world views him. And I often just, when I read the Bible, I try to put it in my practical way. I often look at it as Jesus saying to the disciples, so what's the word on the street? Do the people out there understand my message? Do they understand the mission? Are they getting it? And really what it was a challenge for the disciples. Not an indictment, but a challenge. are you being thorough enough in carrying the message? Because they were team members, right? This is Matthew 16, and Matthew 4 is when he called them into the ministry, right? Come, follow me, and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. You come follow me, and I'll train you, is what he's saying. And I'm going to train you to carry the message. I'm going to train you for the mission. And what's the mission? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And that hasn't changed, has it? That hasn't changed. That's still our task, right? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's laid that burden upon us. He's entrusted us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He's entrusted us with the gospel. It's in our hands. Isaiah, what's he say? He sees the Lord high and lifted up, and it just changes his life. He takes a look within and says, man, I need to do some changing here. There's some things in me that have got to get out of me. And as he begins to write his life with the Lord, God sends him to do a great work. And of course, you know the work he did because we read it here in Isaiah. In fact, the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, they call it the mini Bible. And the central theme is Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And it all occurs when God grabs a hold of him and he says, you're right, God. I'm undone. When Isaiah saw the Lord. Here's an interesting study for you. I'm going to finish it up. You ought to look in your Bible and try to note times, events, occasions, testimonies where people saw the Lord and the impact it made on their lives. There's one that I find absolutely positively intriguing. A fellow named Job. Did you ever read the story of Job? Isn't it wonderful? It's amazing, isn't it? I am so glad I'm not Job. Wasn't Job. Don't want to be Job. Boy went through it, didn't he? Huh? But you ever read it? I mean, we get stuck in chapter 1 and 2, and that's wonderful. But there's more to it. Because as you read on, Job is approached by a few friends. Right? And we say this with friends like that, who needs, right? He's got four of them. Three of them are just out of their mind. I mean, you know, and Job even says, you guys are miserable comforters. You know, I mean, you're adding salt, you know, to my injury here, to my wound. But then they get Job into such a situation where now Job is almost becoming filled with pride and he's doing nothing but defending himself. And would you ever get to chapter 37? Where he began to have a dialogue with God. Interesting, you ought to read it. It's funny. Where the Lord says to him, so tell me, Job, a little bit about yourself. Who hung the world in space? And who, you know? And all of a sudden, Job realizes, uh-oh. And you know what happens? He sees the Lord. And you can read for yourself in the final chapter there, where it says, Job saw, he said this, I've heard of thee, listen to this, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, listen, but now my eye seeth thee. It's a wonderful thing when you go from hearing to seeing. Huh? And it takes a little doing, it takes a little maturing, because you come to church and you hear, but you got to allow your heart to see. And Job says this, now my eye sees thee. You know what he said after that? Anybody know? He said, I abhor myself. Up to that point, he's saying, hey, I don't deserve this. I'm a pretty good guy. You guys are all wrong. God, you made a mistake. But after he sees the Lord, he says, I abhor myself. He then puts on sackcloth and ashes. Gets on his face before God. And you know the end of the story of Job? He is better off at the end than he was in the beginning. Why? Because he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. If we could just catch a fresh glimpse. And so faithfulness is more than visible success. It's when you and I actually get consumed by the Lord. And the invitation is still the same. In fact, it's twofold. Here's the invitation. Come and see, go and tell. Come and see. See, before you can go and tell, you got to come and see. You got to taste and see that the Lord is what? He's good. He's good. And I like where it says there in the book of Hebrews, you know, you must first believe that He is. That He's what? That He's God. And that He takes good care of His kids. Come and see. So there's some things that we can be certain of. Say what? Well, God's still on the throne. The earth is His footstool. And God's still in control. Even though it doesn't look like it, He is. Paul told us in Philippians chapter number 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. If you've been around church for a long period of time, you remember that little chorus? Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. You don't know it? Oh, my soul. Where have you been? Everything's all right in the Father's house. Amen? And I think what we need to do is catch a fresh glimpse of His glory. And if you do, it'll alter your life. It'll alter your life. No doubt about it. What Isaiah saw. Well, praise the Lord. Glad you're here tonight, church. Let's have prayer together, may we? Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for giving us testimonies of those who, Lord, You just showed Yourself strong to. You revealed Yourself to. People that, Lord, You just got their attention. Men like Moses and Isaiah and Job and others, where we have record. We have a record of what happened when they saw You. They were never the same. You altered their lives. You blessed them and used them and allowed them to advance Your kingdom. And Lord, we desire the same. We want to see a burning bush. We want to see You high and lifted up. We want to be able to take a look inside of our hearts and say, Lord, remove it so that You might replace it and that You might use us to advance Your kingdom. We want to be kingdom people and we want to be pleasing in Your sight. Thank You for those here tonight. I pray that You'll enrich our hearts, help us to grow through these teachings that we have at church and our personal study so that we might become more Christ-like and live like Christians every day. Bless Your people now as we dismiss. Get us home safely. Give us traveling mercies. Hedge the campus. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. And amen. You are dismissed. 9:30 Sunday morning. Connect classes. 10:45 morning service. God bless you.